الحمد لله وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن نبينا محمدا عبده ورسوله. Today's talk will be about advice and the position of advice in religion. Our Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم was narrated by Tamim al-Dari رضي الله عنه to say the religion is advice. Religion is advice. Religion is advice. He said it three times to emphasize this fact that advice has a great role and that advice is a very important part of this religion. The companions said, O Messenger of Allah, to whom should be the advice? The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, to Allah, to his book, to his messenger, to the Muslim leaders and scholars, and to the Muslims in general. Now, in this hadith, our Prophet is emphasizing to us that we must advise. And then he said the advice is to Allah. Now, how can a slave advise Allah? How can a creature advise the Creator? Now, this means the advice to Allah means that we must worship Him and obey Him in the best way. To worship Allah in the most sincere way, to know Allah in the best way, to know Allah as He described Himself in His book and as His Messenger has described Him to us. To worship Him alone and not to associate any partners with Him in worship. This is how we advise, how our advice to Allah is. And that is to know Him truly, to know that He is the Lord, the Master, the Owner, the King, to know that His order is the final order to us and that no order should be given priority to His order. And to know that He is the most knowledgeable, where His knowledge encompasses all things, and that everything, no matter how minute it might be, is within His knowledge, and that no matter what atom of matter, wherever it is seen by Him and is known by Him. And to know that He is the Almighty, the All-Powerful, the Most Able, the All-Merciful, the Most Wise, and so on. To know Allah in the best way, as He described Himself in His book, and to worship Him alone, not to call upon anyone but Him, not to trust anyone but Him, not to fear anyone as fearing Him, not to desire anything from anyone what we should desire from Him alone, not to give priority to anyone in love. We must love Him above loving everything else and above loving everyone else. So this is how our advice to Allah means, because the word nasiha in Arabic, the linguistic meaning of this word nasiha is purity. They say to purify the honey. They say نصح العسل, to purify the honey. So this purity in knowing God and this purity in worshipping God is the meaning of our advice to Allah. Now, our advice to His book is to respect the book of Allah, because the book of Allah is actually His word. His final word to the final messenger, and that is Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and it is the most accurate word, and it is the word which has been preserved for us, and it will be preserved until the day of judgment, until Allah wishes otherwise. And the advice to the book of Allah also means to recite it. Now, reciting the book of Allah means that we should read it in the best way and understand it according to Book of Allah and the Sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, because this is why our Prophet was sent, and that is to explain the book, to explain the Book of Allah to us. And therefore our understanding for the Book of Allah should not be based on our thoughts, and should not be based on the thoughts of anyone except what our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam has told us. So to recite the Book of Allah, this means that we must understand the Book of Allah, and this understanding should be the correct understanding, the way the companions of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam understood the Book of Allah. They understood it from his mouth. They understood it from his actions, from our Prophet's actions. And they are an example for us, and whatever they say about the Book of Allah should be our guidance. And if you notice, if you go to the books which are specialized in explaining the Book of Allah, you will find that all those explanations are based on the sayings of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And you will find, for example, the saying of Abdullah ibn Abbas, the great knowledgeable scholar, and the sayings of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud and Zayd ibn Thabit and Ubay ibn Ka'b, etc. And then the understanding of those who were their students, such as Mujahid, Ata, and so on, those who understood the Quran directly from the companions. These understandings should be our guidelines. They should be the understandings which we go by. And if you look at the books which are specialized in explaining the Book of Allah, such as Tafsir al-Tabari, you will find great details of sayings about the companions of the Prophet regarding any verse in the Book of Allah. And it is a must for us, in order for us to understand the Book of Allah in the most correct way, it is a must for us to refer to those explanations. I mean the explanations of the companions and their students. And our advice to the Book of Allah does not just end at this point, that is by reciting it and understanding it, but we must go beyond that, and that is action, to act upon what we understand. So this is why this book was revealed. It was revealed so that we act upon it, and not just to put it on the shelf, or to use it as blessings and so on and so forth. The Book of Allah have been sent to us so that we act upon it. And if we do not act upon it, then actually we will be doomed and we will be cursed by Allah, just like the nations before us have been doomed and cursed when they did not act upon the Book of Allah. As a matter of fact, when the Jews, for example, did not act upon their book, they were described as throwing the Book of Allah behind their backs because they did not act upon their book. So therefore, if we do the same thing with the Quran, we just take the Book of Allah to be something for blessings and for only some occasions, and we do not act upon it in our daily life, we do not take it as the guidance for us, then we will be doomed and cursed, just like the nations before us have been doomed and cursed. And to advise the Book of Allah means that we should defend it against any manipulation, against any offense from the enemies of Allah. So it is the duty of every Muslim to do his best to defend the Book of Allah, and to be very jealous when someone says something against the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because the Sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam is actually hand in hand with the Book of Allah. And without the Sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we would not be understanding the Book of Allah. Now, this is our advice to the Book of Allah, to act upon it, upon the right understanding, and to defend it against all manipulations and against all offenses from the enemies. Now, the advice to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is first to trust that everything which he told us is true, because it is from Allah. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said in his book, whatever the Messenger order you, you must take, and whatever he forbid you, you must stay away from. And as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about his Messenger, that he does not speak of his own, he only speaks out of revelation from Allah. He only speaks as an order from Allah. He does not speak anything from himself. And therefore, our advice to the Messenger starts by believing everything that he told us. Any matter which he tells us, then we must believe in it. Anything, any order that he orders us, then we must know that it is true and it is good for us to go by this order. Anything which he forbids us from doing, then we must trust and we must think that by going against his order, then we will be only disadvantaging ourselves and we will be displeasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So to believe the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and then to obey the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and then to respect him above respecting anyone else. Now this means that we should not give priority to the order of anyone to the order of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If the order of the Prophet comes, then it should be given the priority above the order of all mankind, of anyone, no matter who he might be. Because the order of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is something which is definitely true, because it is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. While the order of such and such scholar or person does not necessarily mean that it is absolutely true. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in his book, obey Allah, obey the Messenger and those who are in authority. Now if you notice in this verse, Allah says, obey Allah, and then he says, and obey the Messenger. There is an equal emphasis for obeying the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But when Allah told us to obey those who are in authority, he did not say obey those who are in authority. He said obey Allah, obey the Messenger, and those who are in authority. Meaning that those who are in authority, the leaders or the scholars, if their order is according to the order of Allah and his Messenger, then it is right for us to obey them. But if their order is not in accordance to the order of Allah and his Messenger, then it is not right for us to obey them, because we will be disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now this is the meaning of the advice to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and inshallah we will continue this hadith next time. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم فاستغفروه صلى الله على نبينا. Last time's talk regarding advice and its role and its importance in our religion, as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam have emphasized in the hadith when he said religion is advice. He said that three times to show the great importance of advice in our religion. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained what he meant by advice when he said advice is to Allah, his book, his Messenger, to the Muslim leaders and scholars, and to the Muslims in general. We explained what the advice to Allah, his book, and his Messenger meant. And today, inshallah, we will explain what the advice to the Muslim leaders and scholars and to the Muslims in general mean. First of all, our advice to the Muslim leaders means that we should trust them as long as they order us to do what is in accordance to the Book of Allah and his Messenger. So if they rule by the Book of Allah and they order us what is according to the rule of Allah, and what is according to the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of the Messenger, then our duty is that we must trust them, we must love them, we must be merciful to them, we must be compassionate with them, we must be just with them, we must be patient with them, we must be tolerant with them, and we must love whatever good for them, and we must try our best to bring the people to their obedience and not do anything which will create problems against them, not do anything which will make people become arrogant towards them. So this is our duty towards them if they order us with what is in accordance to the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So our advice to the Muslim leaders is to obey them as long as they order us to do what is right. And our advice to them, if they order us not to do something good, or if they order us to do something against the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then our advice is to correct them and to show them the right way in the best manner. That is, when we advise them, when we tell them that they are wrong, this should be done in the most wise and suitable way. It should be in a gentle way, because our leaders, if they are going according to the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, surely deserve gentleness and mercy. No one should, for example, criticize them publicly to the degree that he makes the people, especially the ignorant people, go against them. This is against the teachings of Islam. And when we advise them of something, our advice must be supported by knowledge. In other words, you should not tell someone, a Muslim leader, or someone who is acting on his behalf, that this thing is right or this thing is wrong without a clear proof from the Book of Allah, the Sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or from what the scholars of Islam say. So if you tell him this is wrong, you should be sure of what you say, and you should have the proof for that. And if you tell him this is right, then again you should be sure of that, and you should have the proof from the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, provided that you say it in the most gentle way and in the most wise way. Also, our advice to the Muslim scholars, who are also our leaders, should be in the best way, in the most polite way, and in the most gentle way, and in the most just way. We cannot make a big deal of a small mistake from a scholar. We should know that any scholar, whoever he might be, is a human. He is subject to faults. He is subject to falling into something wrong. And he is subject to making mistakes. And therefore, when we advise them, we should not have the feeling that they are deliberately going against the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There should be a mutual trust, good trust, in the Muslim scholars, between the Muslim scholars and the rest of the people. And the advice to the Muslims in general is very important. This is a very important aspect of Islam, and that is to order the good and to forbid the evil. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have described this nation to be the best nation when it has established this great pillar of Islam, or this great fundamental of faith, and that is to order the good and to forbid the evil. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said in his book, كنتم خير أمة أخرجت للناس تأمرون بالمعروف وتنهون عن المنكر وتؤمنون بالله, that you were the best group of people which has been sent to mankind. Why? Because you were ordering the good, forbidding the evil, and believing in Allah, or based on the faith in Allah alone. Because to have the wrong faith in Allah, then there is no use of ordering any good or forbidding any evil when you are doing the greatest evil, and that is you are believing in Allah in the wrong way. So if someone believes in Allah in the wrong way, then he is actually wasting his time by ordering other goods or forbidding other evils, because this is the greatest evil, to have the wrong faith in Allah. And again, in advising the people, our advice must be based on knowledge and must be based on wisdom and gentleness. The Muslims nowadays, unfortunately, have became far from establishing this great fundamental of Islam, that is to order the good and to forbid the evil. We find Muslims in general become shy of ordering each other with good and forbidding each other from evil. They become coward sometimes. They become afraid of not doing this duty. Some Muslims don't even feel in their hearts that they should do this thing to their Muslim brothers, and this is against the Islamic Brotherhood. Now, the Islamic Brotherhood means that we should love for each other what we love for ourselves. So if you like for yourself to be straight and to be righteous and to be doing good and staying away from evil, then this is what you should love for your Muslim brother, whether he is a relative of you or not, because Islam isn't enough of a relationship. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said, Al-mu'minuna wal-mu'minat ba'duhum awliya'u ba'd. The faithful, male and female, are the friends and the supporters of each other. And we cannot be friends and supporters of each other when we don't care about each other regarding what we do, what pleases Allah and what displeases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We must know also that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will punish the people, the whole people, when the evil spreads amongst them. In other words, if there is a group within the general Muslim group, if there is a group which does bad things, which does evil things, and the rest of the Muslims who can forbid them from not doing that, but they don't do so, then Allah will send down the punishment on everyone, those who are doing the evil and those who are able to prevent them, but they don't do that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَاتَّقُوا فِتْنَةً لَا تُصِيبَنَّ الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا مِنْكُمْ خَاصَّةً وَاعْلَمُوا أَنَّ اللَّهَ شَدِيدُ الْعِقَابِ. Be aware of an affliction that will not be special of those unjust groups amongst you. The unjust group is the group which is doing the wrong thing, which is doing the evil thing. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, be aware of this fact, that the punishment will not be only special for them, but the punishment will be for all of you if you can change their evil and you don't do so. And therefore, the Muslims must be aware of this all the time. And therefore, they should not allow in their society, they should not allow the evil to spread. They should stop it by all means, by whatever they can. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم فاستغفروه وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.